Amen to that. Almost 1 year ago today, it's crazy to think about, my daughter was born. She turns one this coming Saturday, and we're very excited. It's been, I was telling some people, it's been simultaneously the longest year of my life and the quickest year all at the same time. Lots of late nights, lots of celebrations of firsts, but we're very excited that Maggie is here with us and she's happy and she's healthy. But I was thinking back to before Maggie was born, when Sarah was still pregnant with her. And at the time before she had been born, I thought that I could help Maggie attain this idea of perfect pitch. For those who don't know, perfect pitch is the idea that when you hear a note played on the piano, you can tell somebody what it is. So if you hear a note, you're like, that's a C, or that's an F sharp. And so what I would do is I would take my phone, I'd open my piano app, and I would get down near Sarah's belly, and I'd play a C note, and I'd sing a C scale. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. And I thought it was really funny. Sarah didn't think so as much. But I kept doing it over and over in hopes that someday Maggie would be able to sing with me. She was real. She was there. She could hear, right? But she wasn't here yet. I was singing in hopes that someday she could sing along with me. Our passage that we're going to look at today talks about a vision of God singing over us. It's what we just sang about in that last song, this idea that God sings over us. And it's my assertion that God sings over us because we have been restored to Him through relationship, through the sacrifice Jesus made on the cross, and in celebration of the victory God has won. God sings over us because we have been restored to Him in relationship through Jesus' death on the cross, and in celebration of the victory that God has won. We're going to be in the book of Zephaniah this morning, so if you'll flip over to that book in the Old Testament, we will read together in Zephaniah chapter 3. We're going to be in chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. This is what it says. Sing, daughter Zion. Shout aloud, Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all of your heart, daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day they will say to Jerusalem, do not fear, Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In His love, He will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Zephaniah is an Old Testament prophet, and like many other Old Testament prophets, he talks a lot about this idea of the day of the Lord. This day that if you were in Jewish culture, you would be familiar with, where God is going to come and He's going to judge people for their sin. Not just Israel, but all nations surrounding them. And Zephaniah is only three chapters long. And 2.5 of them talk about this idea of the day of the Lord. It talks about the devastation, the judgment that God will bring on His people. But then in the third chapter, we get this turn towards a hopeful vision that Zephaniah has of what will happen after that judgment. And in verse 14, we see that the people are commanded to sing, to rejoice. But what is there to sing and rejoice about after three chapters of judgment and devastation? And what can we learn about singing from the book of Zephaniah? That's what I want us to dig into this morning. The first point that I want to bring up is that the people are commanded to sing in response to the victory God has won for them. In response to the victory God has won for them. We all know that the gospel tells us that sin separates us from God. Our relationship with God is utterly broken and in disrepair because we have chosen to follow our own way. And the prophets are very clear. Even God's people are not beyond judgment. In fact, we might even be more responsible because of the relationship that we have with God. But whereas Israel has not been faithful to uphold their end of the covenant, we see all through the Old Testament, Genesis through Malachi, that Israel continue to fall short. They continue to go their own way, to do their own thing. They have not been able to uphold their end of the covenant. And so judgment is coming. That's what the prophets are here to tell us. They haven't uphold their end of the covenant, but God is going to show Israel that he is faithful to uphold his end of the covenant. And so in verses 14 and 15, we get this picture of a group of people, a faithful remnant who have been gathered together because God has done something for these people that they couldn't do for themselves. He has saved them in a way that they could not save themselves. And so let's look back at the passage and see what it is that God has done for these people that they couldn't do for themselves. Verse 14, "Sing, daughter Zion, shout aloud, Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all of your heart, daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm." So again, we see this vision of God preserving a humble remnant of people in this city. And they have gathered together and they have been commanded to sing in response to what God has done for them. And again, God has done for them. He's taken away their punishment. He has turned back their enemy. And he is now present with his people. Whereas God and humanity had been separated by sin in the garden, Zephaniah sees this vision of God being with his people once again. And they're commanded to sing. It moves them to singing. But the people aren't the only people singing in this passage, if you'll recall. God also sings. And I think that God sings in response to this restoration of relationship with his people as well. God is present with his people in a way that he hasn't been in a very long time. The story of the Bible starts out right in the Garden of Eden when God and humanity are in perfect relationship with each other. And then we get this whole, you know, book about how God is attempting to salvage the relationship and restore us into that right relationship that we were once in. If I were to think of a word to describe the whole story of the Bible, I might use the word reunified, because we are reunified in relationship with God through what Jesus did for us on the cross. And the Bible constantly shows us visions of how God rejoices over restored relationship. You think about the parables that Jesus tells in the New Testament. I mean, the low-hanging fruit, the prodigal son, the story about a father who welcomes his son back with open arms despite his son's behavior and actions towards him. The story about the shepherd that leaves the 99 and goes out to seek and find the one and celebrates the return of that one. In some ways, I think what's interesting about this passage in Zephaniah is that God doesn't exactly act like we might expect him to act, maybe. Just like these stories of the prodigal son and the 99, Zephaniah sort of subverts our expectations a little bit, if we're honest. Think about the prodigal son. We expect the father, maybe if you put yourself in the father's shoes, maybe we're just more sinful than the father was, but I might have been a little bit unhappy with my son who went off and wasted all my money and is coming back. I wouldn't throw a party, probably, in my sin. Think about the 99. We might think that the rational response is to stay with the 99 and let the one go his own way, because he's 99. We see is more valuable than that one. And I think sometimes when we think about God, when we picture God, maybe we picture this high, holy place where God is separate from us and maybe untouchable, and he's straight-laced and he's serious. But in this passage in Zephaniah, a vision is painted for us of a God who is so moved by the presence of his people, by being with them, that he sings over them. And the truth is, when you and I admit that Jesus is Lord, when we confess with our mouth, and we are reunified with God in relationship, God does sing over us. He is excited, just like that father and the prodigal son story. Luke says that even the angels rejoice when one sinner repents. And so, as I kind of wrap up my thoughts on this passage for us this morning, I want to leave you with two things, because I think that this passage gives us two really good reasons to sing. I think this passage tells us to sing because we can sing because of the victory that God has won for us. We can sing because of the victory God has won for us. We think about this passage specifically. God has done something for these people that they could not have done for themselves. We come to church on Sunday morning and we sing because it's a response to what God has done for us. And sometimes we can get so, caught up in the drudgery of having to wake up and come on Sunday morning that it feels like it's just a ritualistic experience and we're checking a box or something. But we are here moving towards God because God first moved towards us in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And so we sing in response to the victory that God has won for us. We're praising God for the way that He made for us to be in relationship with Him once again. We're praising God because we don't have to bear the weight of our sin. We don't sit in the judgment seat for our sin because Jesus wore that on the cross. And that's worth singing about. That's worth responding to. Secondly, I think we sing in anticipation of the complete restoration that is to come. The complete restoration that is to come. The truth is, you and I are going to continue to struggle with sin. We are going to wake up tomorrow and we're going to miss the mark. We're going to fall short in our relationships with each other. We're going to fall short in our relationships with God. The beauty of the gospel is that someday, a day is coming when we will be in a place where there is no more war, no more tears, no more sin, because God is in the process of making all things new. And I think that's the day that Zephaniah is envisioning when he wrote the final words of his prophecy. This is that same chapter, chapter 3, the last two verses, 19 and 20. At that time, I will deal with all who oppressed you. I will rescue the lame. I will gather the exiles. I will give them praise and honor in every land where they have suffered shame. At that time, I will gather you. At that time, I will bring you home. I will give you honor and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your very eyes, says the Lord. Zephaniah is pointing us towards this future time when all of God's people will be gathered together in a city singing praise to God for what He's done, where He is also singing over them. And so for now, how can we take this and apply it in our day-to-day life or even just on Sundays? Here's a few thoughts for you. I think we sing because of what God has done. Right? We sing because of the victory, the relationship we get with Jesus. Even now, today, we are in right standing with God the Father, in a right relationship because of Jesus. We sing because of what God will do, that future day that we can look forward to. This right here, when we come on Sunday mornings, is a glimpse of what heaven is going to be like. We get to sing with other believers and lift our voices up. This is something you can't do alone. And we celebrate our restored relationship with God. That's why we're here. That's why we take an hour out of our week to come together, as we are responding to what God has done for us. God truly does sing over you. He is excited to be in relationship with you. I guess the question is, are you going to lift your voice and join Him? Will you pray with me? Lord, thank you so much for the truth of your gospel, that you love us, that you celebrate us. Father, give us grace when we fall short, and help us to give ourselves that same grace. We pray that you will be with us. We pray that you will give us the strength to lift our voices, to sing. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.